1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17 is where we'll start. Last time I preached, I forgot this, and I'm sorry I had it on my notes, but I forgot it. This is a day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. I love starting off service that way. Just, this is a day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and reminding ourselves daily of that. 1 Kings chapter 17 is where we'll be today. We'll do the whole chapter today. And in that, there's the previous chapters talk about the different kings that have come through and how long they were there and why they left and different reasons there. And right now, as we go into that, Ahab was king of Israel. And we're told actually in 1 Kings 16, verse 32 and 33, it says, "Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria, and Ahab made a wooden image." That's no good. That's no good. The next sentence says, "Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him." Thank you, Ahab, for setting the place for these people that are coming after you and behind you. But that leads us into chapter 17. This guy's angered God. He's done more to provoke the anger of God than all his predecessors. Wouldn't you like that? Hey, I'd like to introduce you to my God. By the way, so-and-so over there just really ticked him off and he's mad now. But enjoy your relationship with him. By the way, which group are you in with him? You know, is he mad at you? And it says in chapter 17, verse 1, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab," saying to the king now, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except in my word." Now it came before as they're worshiping Baal that said, hey, he's the God. This is the person or the thing that we worship. We made a wooden image, and by the way, it's not going to rain or it's not going to shine the sun unless Baal says so. Uh-oh. All of a sudden we have this dude named Elijah saying, hey, king, listen to me. Listen to me, king. It's not going to rain. You're not even going to have dew in the morning. It will not rain, nor will there be dew, except at my word. Verse 2, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan." Now, I don't know about you, but God gives you word and then says, now, hightail it out of there. It's time to move on. I'm thinking I'd pay attention to what God had to say. He says, get on, get out of there. It flows into the Jordan. Verse 4, "It will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." I need you to move on, drink from the brook. By the way, the ravens are going to bring you food. You don't have to worry about it. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. We have three things we're going to talk about throughout this lesson today. Number one, there's going to be a situation. Number one, there's going to be a situation. In your life, something is going to come up. God may stop the rain from raining on your garden. Number two, God will direct you in that time. God will direct you in that time. Number three, this is very important. God will provide for you. He will provide for you during that time. So right now he says, hey, there's not going to be any more rain until I say so. Sounds like a situation to me. He's going to direct you. Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook which flows into the Jordan. He's going to provide for you. You'll drink from the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you. Now, if we're proper Christians, there'd be a fourth thing, and they did as the Lord said. That seems to be our stumbling block, though. But it says he went, he took off and went out of there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Yay, all right. We have victory right now. Verse 7, let's press on. And it happened after a while, it always does, doesn't it? And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Remember those three things? There's going to be a situation. The brook dried up. God will direct you. Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. God will provide for you. I have commanded a widow to provide for you. So far, so good. But as you know, there's always going to be something. And I love how it started, verse 7. And it happened after a while. The Lord's provided for me, and it happened after a while that, that brook dried up. What does that brook represent in your life right now that has dried up possibly? What does the rain represent? It stopped raining in this area of my life. But it's important to remember who he said would provide when he was in the other location. He said the ravens, right? What are ravens in the Old Testament? Dirty, unclean birds, right? Nobody wanted the ravens. And I want us to remember when we're going through things, we have to be careful and we have to think, God, who are you going to send, or what are you going to send my way that's going to help me out of this? That's going to help me, maybe not out of it, but just through it. My God, are you kidding me? You're sending me a dirty, unclean raven that's going to bring me bread and meat? We have to be careful who God sends our way. But Elijah said, yes, the ravens brought me the food. Yes, I had the drink, and then it dried up. God can and does and will use uncommon and unclean things and people to provide for you. We have to be careful and listen to them. Think about the brook in your life again. The brook's dried up. Is that a relationship in your life maybe that is dried up, that's going south right now? A job, maybe a job fell through. Maybe a job didn't happen. Maybe you got let go from a job. Health issues. I'm going through this. I have to deal with this. I'm facing this. Finances. Oops, I spent more than I made. I'm in trouble. Oops, I spent this on this and I shouldn't have. Thought maybe I could double my money with a roll of the dice, and it didn't happen. So now I have financial woes. Family issues. Again, relationships. We're going to look at how do we deal with that when our brook dries up. So we press on in verse 10. Remember, there's going to be a situation. God will direct you and God will provide for you. Verse 10 says, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called her and said, oh, by the way, I added that part. Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. She said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, for I only have a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. Notice he doesn't say, make one and we'll all share it. Make me one first. Bring it to me. Give it to me. Oh, then go tend to yourself and your son. But you take care of me first. I know what most of us would do if someone said that to us. For thus says the Lord of God, the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did it. She did according to Elijah's word, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. We have to remember so many times when we want to run out and we want to say, hey, let me take care of myself first. Okay? I know you have a need, but I'm going to take care of me. I'll come back to you guys later. Oh, and then you guys, you need something. Okay, but I'm going to do this first. I'll come back to you if there's any time left. You're having trouble? Okay, I've got to go do this. And I'm really hungry, so I'm going to go get something to eat. But I'll bring you back something if you're still here when I get back. And if I have any left over, I'll bring you some food, okay? Financial needs. I've got these bills to pay and some stuff I was going to buy. If there's any left over, I'll help you out, okay? There's never any food left over. Never any money left over. There's never any time left over to do these things. But he tells her, bring it to me first. The Lord says, bring it to me first. I get the first fruits. I don't want your leftovers. Don't give me the remnant. I've dealt with the remnant in the Old Testament. I want the new. I want the first. I want the fresh. I want the intentional portion. Not the leftover. Oh, I forgot. There's going to be a situation. Widow, I know you only have this much left, but I need you to make a cake for me first. Then you can go back and take care of you and your son later. And I know you're going to make that for yourself now and then go die, but make it for me first. God will direct you. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. God will direct you. Better go make it, lady. She said, as the Lord God lives, I don't have any. I'm going off to die. He says, go and do as I've said. For thus says the Lord God of Israel. He gives him and her direction. Go do this now. And she went and did it. That was that number four thing. If we're obedient Christians, we do as the Lord directs us. Number three, God will provide for you. Verse 16. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Situations will continually come up in life. My Lord Adam, I've been sitting in this church for this. I don't care how long you've been in church, how long you've been serving the Lord. Situations will come up. Elijah, how long you've been serving the Lord? Doesn't matter. Hey, by the way, tell Ahab this and then hightail it out of there. Go hang out down by the brook. I'm going to send some birds to bring you some food. It doesn't matter. Well, I'm a Christian. Why would God put me through that? We're getting ready to answer that. God, why do you let my brook dry up? Why do you allow my brook to dry up? And when it dries up, where do I go and what do I do? But mostly, why do you let that happen? We're your people. verse 17 through the end. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. It's going to be a situation. The son of the woman who owned the house became sick. His sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. A situation. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on this widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he was revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." There's going to be a situation. He became sick, so sick that there was no longer breath in him. But the Lord directed. Elijah said, "Give me your son, bring him to me." And stretched himself out three times and cried out to God. God directed him. "Take this boy from her." She did as he asked. Number four, if we're obedient, God will provide for you. And the soul of the child came back to him, and he was revived. Now let's get to the meat of this again. Great, we have three things that are going to happen. Adam, thank you for reminding us there's going to be a situation. I don't have to. It's throughout the Bible. The New Testament talks about tribulation. Talks about tribulation constantly. Romans 5, 6. "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Why? "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone will even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I love that. But what does it say right before that? Romans 5, 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." But listen to this, verse 3. "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations." What? I better read that again. "But we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." He tells us we're going to have tribulation. Oh, and by the way, when you're in it, would you give me some glory while you're in it, dealing with it? It's a tough thing to do. But why does God allow our brook to dry up? Well, he does it for three reasons. To rely on God and not the brook. You see, so long as that brook is there, we're relying on the brook to provide for us, right? My Lord, that brook is a job. That job's here every day. I'm drinking every day. Uh-oh, what do you mean the brook dried up? Job's gone. This brook is a relationship and a family, drinking from it daily. What do you mean they left? They want a divorce. The brook's dried up. I'm still here. Got my health, I guess. I'm drinking from the brook. I'm sorry, doctor, what did you say? The brook is dried up. He says, don't depend on that brook. You rely and depend on me. Twice a day, those ravens brought bread and meat. What do you think happened after a while? It's 5:05. Where in the world is that raven with my meat and bread? Bring me my sandwich, raven. I'm waiting on you. All of a sudden, we're relying on the raven. It happens, right? We start relying on the raven. We rely on the brook. We no longer rely and depend on God. He allows the brook to dry up, so we rely on Him. Remember who our source is. Number two, to move us to a better place. A place of protection and or a place of provision. Now that's a tough thing to understand. God, I thank you for providing this for me. Wait, why are you moving me down here? This is better, God? You see, I had a place to stay, but you told me get out of there and go hang out by a brook. So now I'm a camper? Hanging out in the wilderness, sitting by the brook. Whew, I wish those birds would hurry up and get here. And this is a better place? Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. You told me to leave there to protect me, but now you've dried up the brook, the very place you told me to go. And now I've got to go find this widow, and she's got this much food left, and I'm going to make her give it to me first. We talked about Wednesday night in our Bible study. We want to see the end product. God says, man, I'm still doing this painting, and you're not going to see it. You won't see it until Judgment Day, maybe. You see, you don't know how beautiful this turns out. But He says, but I'm the artist. I'm the master. And I'm still working on it. But I'm moving you to a place of protection and provision. And when you are there, being a little camper, I'm going to provide for you. We have to watch when we do that on our own, by the way. My older brother, let's see, how old am I? Some 40 plus years ago, my dad used to preach up in the mountains of New Mexico, a little tiny Indian village, and then a little town just a few miles down the road. He said, drop me off. I'm going to go camping. And I'm going to live off the land. And when you come back through, just honk and I'll come to the road and meet you. There's a little stream there. Needless to say, we picked him up and he hadn't eaten a thing since they dropped him off on Friday. And this was Sunday afternoon. He was starving to death. We have to be careful when we move ourselves to that place versus God saying, I need you to go to this place and I'm going to provide for you. See, so many times we move ourselves and we say, God, where's the provision? And He's going, I didn't tell you to go over there. You see, the provision's way over there. But you went there on your own. I got nothing for you over there. Number three, to prove that God has not forgotten you. You know, in the Bible, when somebody did somebody wrong, they had to restore it, right? And it was always restore it with something better, more than, better quality. If I stole your Timex, I'd have to give you back a Seiko or a Rolex or whatever. If I destroyed one cow, I'd have to give you back a cow of a better quality. I'd have to give you back two cows instead of the one. I'd have to repay more, better quality, better style, whatever it is. And God says, man, when I take away, and I provide. Remember the story of Job? In that setting, someone just kept coming and saying, man, I got more bad news, more bad news, more bad news. But Job says, man, I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. He knew who his source was. And his friends are saying, man, forget that God. He said, I won't do it. God even allowed Satan to get in there and mess with him. But he put that very small, well, he put protection around him, but kept shrinking it. And it was a very thin layer of protection God put around, but God put that protection around and said, do anything you want but this. And then he repaid him with more, with better, better quality, more than, more of, more than he originally had. I want us to think as we leave here today, what does that brook represent in your life that has dried up? I want us to remember those three things. The situation is going to arise. We don't have to live in fear. God, where's that situation? Is it today? Is it now? What is it? Oh, dang, the car won't start. Is this it? Well, I don't know. Did you leave the headlights on? Maybe that was just a mistake. But I'm saying situations will come up. God will direct you. Listen to that and respond to it. God will provide for you. Remember, that provision may be something we don't think is it. I told a story when my brook dried up and I lost my job. I go to another brook. I can't find a source of water anywhere. There's no brook for me to go to. And there's one. No offense to Brahms, but man, 8 years ago, I did not want to be scooping ice cream at Brahms. But guess where the brook was? This is Brahms. I've got a brook here with some water in it. Do you want it? Yeah. Yeah, because I'm really thirsty right now. What he provides for you may be that black raven. This is unclean and unhealthy. And I don't mean the place where I worked. I'm talking about the black raven. The raven, you know, is an unclean and a dirty bird. And he may send that provision in an unlikely source. I prayed more in that freezer at Brahms than I ever have in my life. Every time I went in there, that was my little prayer room. I kid you not. Stocking milk and that stupid thing. Lord, please don't let this be the place where I am the rest of my life. Every day. Again, no offense to the place. It just isn't where I wanted to be. And I prayed to God every day. And that is not an exaggeration. I'm telling you the truth. Every time I stock that milk, God, please. Man, and if this is a place, please let me just embrace it rather than hating it. Remember those things. You're going to have a situation. He'll direct you, but he will provide for you. What does that brook represent in your life? When it dries up, where is he telling you to go? How is he telling you how to handle that? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story today of Elijah. Just so many situations that he faced that tell us repetitively, when you move us here, that may be temporary. Until you move us to another assignment, to another place, to another or through another situation. But in that, you give us direction. Lord, help us to open our spiritual ears to hear your direction. Lord, the things I've alluded to of being obedient to respond to that direction. Help us in that area. That's probably our biggest stumbling block. And then help us to see, know, and understand that you will provide. Sometimes, Lord, the provision is right in front of us. And all we want is the raven to get out of our view so we can look up to you and see what you have in store for us. Missing the fact that the raven is what you have in store for us. And the raven has our provision. Lord, you may be calling some of us to be or bring a provision to somebody. Lord, help us as a church body to to move outside of ourself, to give of our time, to give of our talent, to give of our finances, to give of the possessions that we have, where we can be help to others. Help us release those. Help us be freed from those things that hold us back. Lord, we thank you for the worship we experienced today. You are a good, good Father. And help us just to lift our eyes up and understand that our help comes from the Lord. As we go out this week, Lord, help us to represent and reflect your love for others through our actions, through our words, the words we speak to one another, Lord. Help guide us and guard our tongues. Lord, where the church body is hurting, would you heal us spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, where the church body hurts, Lord. Heal us. Get us through those times. Help us to lean on you and to lean into one another. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.